Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and my mission is to bring you the most interesting entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, and business people that I can find. And these people are really excited to freely share their business wisdom, their tips, their actionable advice, and almost more importantly to me, their story, how they got where they are now. And they do this each week, every Friday. Today I welcome to the show results coach Sean Shuchak. Chuck, and I'm going to ask him later how to pronounce his name. We didn't get a chance to speak before the show. But Sean is not just a coach to the top entrepreneurs, executives, and high achievers from all around the country. He is also a results strategist with a laser focus improving and accelerating the results of the organizations and individuals he partners with. He is also a sought-after speaker who shares pertinent information with audiences on business acceleration strategies and improvement through methodologies that are focused around his prerequisite component, the result strategic implementation trademark system. Good morning, everybody. So although he is well known as the author of the book Change Your Mind, Change Your Results, the number one proven success strategies, with a foreword by Bob Proctor, by the way, his focus on going an extra 2 miles in life and in business has captured the attention of readers as well as others around the globe. Very simply, his primary focus is to positively impact as many individuals and organizations as possible. Sean, good morning. I was in a bit of a panic. You were stuck in an elevator. I have not known just yet how to pronounce your last name. This is going to be a great show.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you. And you did a very good job at Shuchak.
Good. I was looking at it. That looks like a simple name, but I said it out loud 2 or 3 times, and the third time bit my tongue. So I thought, But I have one of those last names, too, so nobody can say or pronounce or spell mine. I am so glad to have you here on the show today, Sean. I've been reading your book. Your publisher sent it to me. It's a great book, and, of course, I'm a big fan of Bob Proctor's, but this is a very readable book, and I love so much of what you're saying in it.
Thank you.
I'm really enjoying it. So before we get into the book, and we have a lot to talk about, but thank you for being here. Tell me how you got stuck in the elevator.
I looked at my watch this morning. I went, oh, well, I got an interview this morning. And I'm always one of those people that's always on the go, all go, no woe. And I hopped in the elevator, and I went, I've got 10 minutes. And so needless to say, that didn't quite I literally, when I called in, I just got in my office, held my jacket on. So I made it, and I'm not stuck in the elevator, so it's a good thing.
I'm so glad you're here. I really was beginning to panic just a bit, but it's Friday, and it's just one of those days. Before we get started, because I have a lot of questions for you, can you tell people a bit about yourself?
Yeah, from a personal perspective, I grew up just off the West Coast. Spent my childhood doing the typical stuff, I guess, when you grew up on the west side of the country where typically the weather's a little more mild. And after I finished high school, I moved to the prairies and decided I was going to make a go at it. And I thought I'd do it for a year and a half or maybe 2 years and 20, many, many, well, more, well, more, well, way, way more than 20 years. I'm still here, been very fortunate and blessed. A number of years ago, made a decision that I was going to make a very significant shift and took all the steps that I thought were necessary and made that shift. And in so doing, also took the road to positively impact others.
What made you take that shift? Because some people it happens earlier, some people it happens over and over again. you know, we're constantly growing and evolving, one would hope. And it sounds like you made that decision quite early in life. What impelled you to make that decision?
Well, I don't know if it was actually quite that early. I was one of those folks that, and for a few years, I worked for a very large international company, and they used to bring in some of the very best speakers and trainers there are. They spent millions of dollars bringing these folks in to work with their teams with us. And I was always a guy that sat at the back of the room, arms folded across my chest. I didn't think I needed to be there. I didn't feel it was pertinent to me. I didn't think this information. And needless to say, probably I was one in the room that needed it more than anybody, perhaps. But there was a point in my life where I thought I had the world by the tail. I tell the story in the book a little bit. You know, I had a great job. I had acquired a bunch of real estate as revenue properties. And I was married. Inside of a very short period of time, I was, you know, in bankruptcy. I was divorced. I didn't have a place to live. I didn't have a job. And I remember very distinctly driving through a major city here in North America with a car that was financed, you know, for the bank, and I didn't have anywhere to go. I was driving aimlessly. And that was kind of a realization for me, and it took me a couple of years to kind of make that shift. And somebody said to me, Sean, if you live in the past, your past will become your future. And I went, what do you know about me? So it took me a couple of years to make a shift. And I'll share with you, too, if you like, as we go through this, where that happened.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to hear that. You know, I think I have to ask you this because I do this all the time. Sure. I'm constantly having a chat with myself, constantly, because I'm constantly trying to be at a minimum 1% better than I was the day before. And it is way too easy to get that loop in your head. Whatever loop, pick one. We have a ton of them. And I am constantly doing what I call a pishne. Do you know what a pishne is?
I don't.
Okay, when somebody comes up behind you and they flick your ear with their finger and thumb, and it annoys you and you want to turn around and hit them, that's a pishne. That's what that is. So it
All right.
is just annoying. Yeah. So whenever I catch myself in one of these endless loops that I know are ridiculous, they're not the truth, they don't hold true, but it's just kind of a habit, I will mentally pishne myself and say, stop it, move forward. The past is in your rearview mirror, move forward. And I do that more often than I like, but I'm training.
Well, I think the internal conversation or dialogue is so vitally important, and I think perhaps even more so than what we verbalize from time to time. And I think so often in our own minds, we justify things. And this goes to a lot of things. Paradigms are very interesting, and paradigms, you know, for if someone's never heard that, it's nothing more than a group of habits. Very typically not our own, and in most cases, they are unsolicited gifts from our parents, educators, religious influences as we grew up. And most of the decisions we make today are not even our own. And people look at me funny when I say that. And I say, do you see similarities to how you operate in your life to how your parents did? And all of a sudden, you know, their eyes open wide and they go, my goodness, you're right. And I think that comes back to that internal conversation. You know, there are people that say, you know, and people come to me and say, Sean, you know, I want to quit smoking. But it's so hard. But we go about and we justify. We say, well, I'm just going to have one, or I'm just going to do this thing once, or I'm just going to cheat once, or I'm going to, whatever that is. And we allow it. And, of course, when that happens, it becomes easier and easier. And that's just one component of it, but it's a great, you know, when you talk about the cycle or the loop, when we start to understand that we can make a shift, and you know what? It's going to take persistence, and it's going to take tenacity, and sometimes it's going to be painful. At least that's the
perception. It's annoying. Sometimes it's just really annoying because you tell yourself, why am I doing this? I know better. Darn it. And off you
Absolutely.
Go. You're back in that loop.
Absolutely.
And I think oftentimes we are our own worst critics. In fact, I know we are. And do you ever have this? I've said this to myself, Denise. If you spoke to any other living person the way you sometimes speak to yourself, you'd have a bloody nose. Seriously,
well, I think there's
I would.
Probably some truth for some of us to that. I mean, there was many, many times over the years where I would look at myself and go, what are you doing? And it's not a problem. I don't have any issue with somebody who keeps themselves in check. I think that's an important component of forward progress or movement. It's when we actually beat ourselves up over something. And if something's happened, you said it a minute ago, you know, the past is in the rearview mirror. If we're beating ourselves up over something that's already happened, it's transpired, it's done, We have a tendency, we're hardwired, this is human nature, we're hardwired to default to the negative. So we go in and we beat ourselves up. We remember for years, decades, we remember our sins and our transgressions. But if I ask most people a good thing that happened 10 years ago, they couldn't remember. If I ask the bad thing, it's on the tip of their tongue.
Wow. And that does affect how you live your daily life, personally and professionally.
Absolutely.
Goodness. So in your experience, when you're working with entrepreneurs and executives, is this something that you help them overcome? Is this something that you point out and say, okay, guys, I mean, you're better than this?
Absolutely. I'll share a couple things, if I may. I've had the privilege to work with almost 6,500 people one-on-one over the last number of years. And a vast majority of those people, as a matter of fact, all of them, with the exception of seven, have achieved amazing things. And those seven were the ones that thought, I'm going to hire Sean, and he's going to snap his fingers, and magic is going to happen. And I can just sit here on the sofa with the sofa seatbelt on, and it's just going to, you know, fall out of the sky. First of all, that's not reality. You still have to take some action steps. And two, people always ask me, Sean, what kind of coaching do you do? Are you a life coach? Are you a business coach? Are you a marketing coach? Are you whatever? I mean, there's so many different modalities or areas of focus. And I'm a firm believer in one thing. Coaching is a holistic process. When you work with somebody in my capacity, you are going to see something. Everything comes out on the table. Your personal life comes out. Your business life comes out. Everything comes out. So I think from that perspective, at the end of the day, it all comes down to only one thing. The results. We can talk about any topic people want to talk about, but at the end of the day, are you seeing and experiencing the results you set out to? If you're not, we have to remedy that. We have to augment whatever it is you're doing to ensure you do. And that's really what it comes down to with coaching. So in answer to your question, yeah, we tackle all of those areas. And the second thing I'll share with you is many, many years ago, and you mentioned Bob Proctor in the introduction, he wrote the foreword to my book, very kindly. He was having a seminar in the city I lived in, and I didn't go to the seminar, but I think it was on a Friday evening, and I walked in after they were finished, and his staff were chasing me to the door. Sir, you can't go in, you know. I didn't have a name badge on. And Proctor was at the front cleaning up or whatever at the end of the day, and I walked up and introduced myself. And I don't know if you've ever met Bob, but he's a phenomenal speaker.
No.
But he also, from a coaching perspective, is very, very blunt. And it's a good thing. And he looked at me, and after I introduced myself, and he said, "How, you know, what can I do for you?" And I said, "I'd like to buy you breakfast. I want you to coach me." He said, 7 o'clock tomorrow morning in the restaurant here in the hotel. Don't be late," and walked away. And I was there. And he asked me a question when we sat down for breakfast the next day. And he said, "What's?" And it was the first thing he said to me as we sat down. He said, "What's the most amount of money you've ever made in a year?" And I looked at him and I said, "Who do you think you are?" He said, "Sean, it doesn't matter. I've probably made more than you." And I said, "Oh, okay, yeah, you're probably right." He said, "But what really is important is it tells me how you think, how you value yourself, how you see yourself." And I went, "Wow, so simplistic. How come I didn't think about that?" He said, "I'm no smarter than you, and I made more money than you, and I have for many years. Why is that?" I thought to myself, "You're right." Right? Not knocking Bob, smarter or not smarter. There's no reason I couldn't do what he was doing. There's no reason I couldn't make more. There's no reason I couldn't have a larger and greater positive impact on everybody that I came in contact with and increase that circle of people I came into contact with. So I think that's a big part. It was a complete shift. It was an epiphany. And I had the pleasure of working with Bob for quite some time. And, you know, I didn't even ask what coaching cost at that point in time, but it was something crazy like $15,000 a month. And remember, I was making about $15,000 or $16,000 a year at that point in time. But I will share this, and I racked credit cards and lines of credit. It was the best decision I ever made. And people say, "Oh, my goodness, Sean, you were crazy. You're right off your rocker. You could have gone this. You could." I said, "Yeah, but you know what? You're looking at the wrong side of it. You're looking at the problem. The risk is so big. What if you fail?" I said, "What if I succeed like I did?" And sometimes that's the shift we need to actually take a look at. That's what we need to say. The information, we ask for help, we ask for direction, we ask for assistance, we ask for whatever it is. And when we're faced with that, what we've asked for, we ask the wrong questions. We say, "Should I or shouldn't I? Is it too much money? Is it too much, you know, am I going to spend too much energy? Is it right for me?" And really there's only one question that every single one of us should ask, and that's this. If I act on this today, is it going to move me in the direction of my goal or objective? And if the answer is yes, don't dissect it to death. Don't beat it up. Act on it. I'll paraphrase a quote from Napoleon Hill. He said, "Successful people make near instant decisions and rarely, if ever, change their minds. And that's paraphrased, mm-hmm. but the idea is make a quick decision, move.
I agree. And I've read Napoleon Hill for years and Wallace Wattles and, you know, all of them. I love to read their work. But you said something so important that you have to take action. You can't just sit on it, stew on it, think about it, worry it to death. You've got to actually take action. And the second component for that, I think, Sean, is you have to be willing to invest in yourself. And that means max out your credit cards if you need to, sell your car and get a moped, do whatever you need to do, but invest in yourself.
I agree. I heard something the other day I thought was so profound, and it was simple but profound, and usually profound things are simple.
Mm-hmm.
I was speaking with a colleague of mine out of Dallas-Fort Worth area, and somebody had come to him and asked for help. And when they'd gone through what you know how it worked, they asked about cost, and he shared that with them. And they said, well, I can't afford that.
Hmm.
So he
can't
continued.
Or won't.
Well, that's the key here. He asked them if they had cable television. They said yes. So they're paying, you know, a considerable amount of money on a monthly basis for cable. He asked them if they ever went out for dinner. And they said, well, at least 3 or 4 times a week we go out for dinner because it takes too long to cook meals. So if you think about this, the average couple going out for dinner, probably with not even buying, you know, any kind of liquor products, you're probably going to look for, unless you're going to McDonald's, you're looking at $100.
Yeah,
so that's
easily.
$300 to $400. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, $100 is conservative probably, but so let's say $300 a week, $400 a week, plus you've got cable, that's another $100 plus, give or take, a month. There's $2,000 a month right off
no
the top.
Kidding.
So
he
asked him the question. He said, if you were really serious about what you're talking about changing your results, about starting a business, whatever those goals were for those people, you would make changes to your lifestyle. So don't tell me you can't afford it. It's a matter of you won't. And, of course, it was a wake-up call, and that was the point of the conversation. And the folks decided to do that, and they went away and, you know, sort of changed some of their habits. So I agree with you, can't or won't.
Yeah, there's a huge difference between can't and won't.
It
can make all the difference
curve.
In the world how you live your life.
Sure. The impact is massive when you make a shift. Mm-hmm. I never use the word can't. This phone call or this interview is probably the most I've used it. I have a two-and-a-half-year-old son.
Aww.
And I'm way behind the curve. And somewhere, and he spends some time in a day home when we're all busy. But he somehow picked up the word can't. And at 2.5, him and I had a conversation about it. So it's really interesting that at 2 years old, here's a little guy who is already saying, I can't.
Mm-mm.
And we grow up with that.
Well, you know why? Because your parents, your teachers, people say, oh, you can't do that. Don't do that. You can't do that.
Exactly.
Now, the difference between me and probably you and most small children as we were, because I was real bloody-minded. Can't was a word that I just went, oh, yeah, and I would do the Wonder Woman pose, hands on the hips, oh, yeah, watch me. So can't has never been in my lexicon. Won't is because, you know, I can get pig-headed and say, no, I'm not going to. But I never say can't. And I don't swim. You know why? Because I don't know how. But I don't say I can't swim. I just don't swim.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not a word I allow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if more people did that, they would say, oh, okay, well, since I'm... You know, I can do something. Let me find a way to do it. Or not do it, but it's my choice.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah, I love that. So when you're traveling around the country, what is the most common question that you get when you're speaking and you're in front of groups? I mean, what are you seeing that's trending right now?
You know what's really interesting, and I think this is always trending, is people get stuck in one area, and it comes down to the how. And how is very simply something that is an excuse. It's part of a procrastination process.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like perfection. People say, I've got to perfect something before I can start or before I can do something. I have to be perfect at it. People come to me and ask all the time, you know, I don't know how, Sean, so I can't. And you know something? Mary Morrissey says something. She says, you can climb Mount Everest, but you got to take the first step.
True.
And I think there's a lot of truth to that. You know, a lot of people look at something, whatever the task is, and it appears, that, you know, initially the perception is that it's insurmountable. And so we look at this giant mountain, we go, there's no way I can do this. And so we don't start. And most people stop before they start. If you really think about that, it's an interesting play on words. But it's reality. It's truth. Jack Canfield says you can drive across the entire country at night with your headlights on and trust the next 200 feet of road is going to be there. But you don't trust
right.
yourself enough to take the first step.
Right, right. I remember the first time I heard him say that, I thought, oh, my, because I have night blindness, and all I can do is trust that I can see as far as my headlights are going to take me. I mean, it's scary, but you have to do it sometimes.
It's interesting on how we live our lives, you know, where we don't trust. And it comes as a child. You know what? Do you know a child hears the word no 200,000 times by the time they hit two? And yes,
no,
only 50,000.
No, I didn't know. Siri, is that true? That's a true statistic?
It is.
Wow.
It is. So it's really interesting, and that's how we grow up. So we're taught no. We're taught don't, stop, don't, no. And so that becomes part of who we are.
Oh,
instead of saying yes, you know, can I do this, mommy or daddy? Instead of us saying no as parents, one of the things, and I've had people ask me sometimes, we redirect. How about we do this in this way? And let's avoid the word no and redirect it. Because what you don't want to do is condition your children the same way that most of us were. Give them the opportunity.
And when you're saying no to other people, Sean, aren't you also reinforcing what you already know about the word no?
Well,
I
think probably
you are.
I think probably you are.
At some level? Yeah,
There's a time for no. If someone comes to me and says, Sean, I want you to coach me for free, will you do that? Chances are I'll say no.
Right.
I've had people, not recently in the last, say, 5 or 10 years, but I've had people in different businesses, and I like your introduction, by the way, where you're a serial entrepreneur. I use that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've owned and started and run and sold 40-plus businesses over the years.
Wow.
And one of those, I used to have people that wanted to impose upon me. They wanted to phone me for suggestions and for advice, but they didn't want to pay for it. And there were many times, and you know, it didn't occur to me. I was one of those people that just gave and gave and gave. My brother said to me one day, he said, Sean, he says, do you charge people? Like, do you have a retainer for that kind of stuff? Like, you've taken 20 phone calls, and I've only been here for 2 hours.
Oh, my.
Like, how come? You know, and so sometimes we get in that. And I'm always a big proponent of giving extra. Give more than you're paid for. And I believe in that. But there comes a point where you say, okay, you know what, I have a life, I have to make a living, I'm here to make a positive impact, and so if you want to work with me, I'm going to have to make a little bit. So I think there's a time for no, but I think there's a time for yes as well. Here's the important part. There are people that I'm sure are listening to this today, and here's what's really interesting to me. There are people that are listening today that perhaps went through challenging times over the last few years since 2008, that maybe encountered some significant challenges financially with their home or cars or jobs. And I want to say something, and I get asked this question a great deal as well as I travel throughout the United States and Canada. And here's that. I've gone through a hard time. I've never been on my own. I've never started a business. I don't want to have a job because I realize that the perceived security used to be surrounded certain jobs isn't there anymore. I want to start a business. And can I do that? When's the best time to do that? Here's the key. Find something that you're passionate about. Make sure that you can monetize it. Make sure it's something that others need and want. And start. Don't wait. Improvise, don't perfect. Don't wait for something to be perfect. Start doing something today. Tomorrow's too late. Right? It's so very interesting. Yesterday, and for those that may or may not know, I live in Canada. And in the United States, we call it secretary of something in the federal government, a certain portfolio. In Canada, we call it minister of finance. It's been a minister of finance in Canada for 8 years, stepped down from that portfolio 3 weeks ago. Yesterday, he passed away.
Oh.
And here's a very high profile across the country. Everybody knows who he is. You know, he was recognized yesterday by all the top countries, including the United States, for being somebody that steered Canada in the right direction through the recession of 2008 onward. But here's somebody who maybe, and I'm suggesting, gave his all, but did maybe too much. It was too little, too late to quit. You know, he didn't get the time to spend it that he wanted with family and that kind of thing.
Right.
So I always look at what's really important to us. Time is the only non-renewable resource. And I think it's so vitally important we realize that. When people say to me, Sean, or I'm bored, or I'm just killing time, that's almost like stabbing me. Because to me,
I know.
What is that?
That's horrible. I've never been bored a day or a moment in my life. I don't have time for it. I'm busy. I'm dominating the world. I'm a busy girl.
I want to share something. And somebody asked me this on an interview a couple of weeks ago. They said, Sean, there's a person listening right now, I guarantee that, who went through hard times, has a month or 2 months left before financially they're in ruins. What's your suggestion and advice to them? And I said, well, I can share what I did. And I went through some challenging times a few years ago. And I made a decision I was going to go help businesses. And I was going to help them increase sales and better their culture, et cetera, et cetera. And I studied it at length. And then you know what I did? I put on a pair of shoes and started pounding the pavement. I went door to door. And you know what? I got kicked out of businesses. Get out. You're a
solicitor. Cold calling, yeah, that's tough. That is a tough thing to do.
And I picked up the phone, actual cold calling. But you know something? Inside about 10 days, a week and a half, I had two contracts. All of a sudden, there was money coming in on a monthly basis. I was building a business. I had a company that was profitable, and this is maybe a record at some level. I had a company that was profitable in 30 days. So for those people, and I don't care where you are, I don't care what your education level is, you can go to, if you can't afford to buy books and study, go to the library. There is always a way to get knowledge. Most people have smartphones today. Most people have internet today. Utilize that. There's so much out there. You could today, if you can scrape the money together and eat Kraft dinner, hire a coach. I know that sounds crazy. I know that sounds off the wall. But find somebody that you work hand in hand and side by side with who will guide you to the level of success and achieve the results you want to. Start today. I can't emphasize that enough. Just get moving. Because the longer you sit and stagnate, you're going to go down the other way.
Well, not only that, but you know, by the time your great idea comes to fruition, however you're going to finally manage that, 40 people in front of you have already built phenomenal businesses out. There are no new ideas. And people need to understand that. I mean, there are different ways of presenting ideas, but I hear this all the time as a web developer. Well, I've got this great idea, but so-and-so's already done it. So you're you. They're them. You have a different audience. It drives me crazy. I mean, I'm getting on my high horse here, but it runs me nuts. And you're so right. Just do it. Take the step. Then take the next step. Don't sit around and wait for it. I've been there. I've done that. And what you're talking about with the coach is – spot on the money, because when I first started out as a web developer in 2000 and then went on to become a virtual assistant and then online business manager, there was no such thing in either of my industries as a business coach or a mentor. I had to do it on my own. And fortunately, I did it, but I sure could have had a learning curve shortened if I'd had somebody to talk with, but I didn't.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I could have learned from other people's, you know, failures and great responses if I just had people to talk with. But I was here in my home office just working away like I had good sense. Fortunately, it worked. Not everybody has that.
And I think we should. If you take a look at most successful people today in business and in sports and in almost any arena, they all have at least one coach. If you look at some of the top golfers, they're going to have multiples, 2, 3, 4, 5 coaches.
Right.
And I've been very fortunate for almost 2 decades to have at least one coach at a time, sometimes more than that. And I probably spend $150,000 a year, and this isn't bragging, this is a fact, on improving myself. Why? Because I get to share that. I have one objective, and that's to positively impact as many people as I can. Well, I'll share this with you, actually. You know, they say that when it's your time to go, your life flashes before your eyes. And I'm not looking forward to that today or tomorrow, but I'll share this. I've always said this. If that's the case, make it a movie worth watching. When it's my time, I want to be able to look back and know that I've had a positive impact. And if it was only on one person, it was all worth it. Don't get me the wrong way. I want it to be on many more. And I think I've achieved that already. But the point is very simply that, is being able to leave a positive impact, a legacy that you made a difference on this planet while you were here. And for me, that's what motivates me, that's what drives me, is being able to show people, you know what, sometimes the mindset that we have that I can't, I don't know how, there's no way, I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the skill, is not the case. And so here's an interesting fact. I actually developed a program for coaches and consultants and authors and speakers where they actually take their skill and their knowledge and put it into something that not only creates a residual income base for that expert, but also they're able to impact not just 10, 20, 30, a dozen, but hundreds of thousands of people. And I think that's really what's important.
Now, how does that work, Sean?
Well, I did a lot of research.
What kind of process? Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I asked you the question.
No, it's all good.
Keep on going.
The process is very simply this. We have folks come spend one day with me, 12 hours in our office, and when they walk out at the end of the day, they have a program. If you have a program, you've done the work once, and now you have something that you can sell on an ongoing basis to people, you don't have to go and do what I did. You don't have to flog it door to door. If it's done the right way, you can sell this online. You can do it to your website if you understand what the marketing, and you talked about, you know, what you do. If you understand some of the marketing stuff that's online today, and I've researched this and for 8 years, and been very successful at helping folks do this. There's 12 people in North America right now that we've worked have done this. Every single one of them is making money. Every one. The top one in the month of March did $14,500. The one at the lowest end on the totem pole did $3,000 in a month. So if you start, and guess what? They're impacting people. This information is fantastic. And when people get to do this and they get to see there is something more, there's something better, I can make an impact, and that just grows.
Well, it would because, I mean, the human condition is that you want to improve, you want to grow, you want to learn and increase in wisdom, knowledge, expertise. I mean, that's just the human condition, unless you have really managed to mess yourself up somewhere along the way.
And you know what? Even if you have, you can still change.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I've seen it. So is this, what I had mentioned at the top of the show, is this the strategic implementation? Is that what that program is?
No, strategic implementation is actually part of our one-on-one coaching program and part of our group coaching. So strategic implementation is very simply this. It's being able to plan for your success. And, you know, I have people, and this is an interesting thing to me. I've never had this happen to myself, but I've had people say to me, I can't do something. And when I inquire why, or maybe they don't say it, we're going through a coaching program, they don't hit their targets. And when we do our accountability checkpoints, and so I ask why, and they say, well, what if I'm so successful I can't handle all the business?
Do you know I've heard that before, and it just makes my head spin.
Mine too.
What the heck? I mean, seriously.
Let's deal with it when we get there. Let's not worry about something that today is non-existent. Let's start where we need to start and move ahead. So strategic implementation is really this. We create a goal or objective. We break it down into bite-sized pieces that we can understand. And what I mean by that is, if it's a financial goal, if the most money we've ever made in a year was $50,000, we set a goal at $1 million, you're going to have a hard time grasping, assimilating that, breaking it down to something you can actually breathe. When you're doing it, people get scared. They just don't see how it works. So we take that big, hairy, audacious goal, we break it down into something, bite-sized pieces, something we can do on a daily or an hourly basis. And then we know what we have to do, and we may even take your day. I always say you can't manage time, you get all there is, but you can manage activities. So we break your day into certain activities, things you're going to accomplish throughout the day in order to achieve the objective you set. So we actually know what's going to happen at the end of the week, at the end of the month, at the end of the year. We've pre-planned. Are there going to be changes? Are there going to be things you can't control? Yes. Are you going to pre-plan for those anomalies, those fires? Yes. But you know what? You still have a blueprint. You still have a roadmap, something you can follow. And as long as you're making progress, you'll get there. And so strategic implementation is taking that goal and actually doing it. And doing it in such a way that you see the achievement and leveraging that as continued motivation. You know, they say that dissatisfaction is one of the biggest motivators, and there is truth to that. However, I think leveraging our successes as a motivator, as a catapult to keep moving forward at a faster pace is a much better way to achieve what we set out to.
See, that makes more sense to me. You know, using fear as a leverage or... you know, some kind of activity during the day that failed and you're sitting around going, well, crud, I have to fix this, blah, blah, blah. You're working from a place of panic, and I don't find that you're making your best decisions when you're in a place of irritation or panic.
It's true.
So you do make good decisions when you're feeling really good about things.
Very true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
So the people, I know you work with a lot of people who have experienced significant challenges. What do you do to help them? I mean, do they come to you directly? Do you work with them as a keynote speaker? How are the different ways that you can help people?
Well, I do a lot of keynote speaking, so yes, I speak all over North America. I have a one-on-one coaching program, and this is really intended for those people who are serious. This is really intended for people who've achieved some level of success. They know there's more. Maybe they've hit a glass ceiling. Maybe they want to really prioritize what they're doing. Maybe they have a goal that's a major goal. In 3 years, they want to triple or quadruple the size of their company, or they want to make a shift personally. In 3 years, they want to spend more time doing something different, whatever that looks like. So we do a lot of that one-on-one. And then we have a group coaching program that we launch every 6 months. And it's a little bit different. It's a little bit larger, but we work with a lot of people. It's directly with me. It's a small, intimate group, and it works so well because not only is it coaching, but you get to leverage the skill of the people that you work with together in a group. So we do a lot of that. And, of course, we have some programs. There's a program called The Power of They that's coming out. There's an actual course built around the book that I just finished that will be out in the next probably 6 or 8 weeks. And we do a lot of different stuff. Like there's a DVD program we have called Business Results Bootcamp, and it's about building a $1 million business in record time. And so, you know, people can go on our website at changeyourresults.com, www.changeyourresults.com, and they can see this. Please, if you go there, get some of the free stuff. There's free audios, there's free ebook, there's all kinds of stuff for you, resources to get for free.
Oh, great. Well, and the URL there, tell people where to go?
It's www.changeyourresults.com. If you want to copy my book, of course, you can go online to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, any of the major booksellers online.
Great. Thank you so much. I marked a couple of places in your book, and one of the things that I love, and I do this all the time, is that you talk about telling people to take 3 seconds. You know, if they're in any kind of a situation, whether it just popped up on them or they need to give it some real thought, to just go, okay, take a deep breath, take 3 seconds. And 3 seconds sounds like nothing much, but when you're counting them down, that's actually quite a bit of time. Why do you tell people to do that, and how does it help?
Most people relinquish control, and here's what I mean by that. If you're driving down the freeway and somebody passes you and makes some kind of lewd gesture, human nature's natural reaction is to react, to do the same thing back, road rage is a big problem. But I use this as an example because everyone's familiar with it. When you react and you do something back, you are actually relinquishing control to the other person. And in certain times, it's a situation, you react to a situation. So when you react, and I don't care who it is, you are not in control. You've given control to the other person or situation. When you take 3 seconds, and it may seem like a very minute amount of time, and it is really. So take the 3 seconds every time and come from a place of response. Never react. Always respond. Guess what? You are now in control, not just to yourself, but in most cases the situation. And if you don't react, if there is a situation or a conflict looming, guess what? You're likely going to diffuse it.
True.
Just by your demeanor.
Exactly. And I learned that a long time ago. If somebody wants to engage in a shouting match, I don't engage. The minute I have raised my voice, I have lost control.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
It just degrades from there. But the road rage thing, I rarely see it because I'm lucky that way. But I did see something the other day, and this guy was really upset, and he was flipping everybody off at this four-way stop. So I blew him a kiss and kept on going. You should have seen his face. It was priceless. He just stopped him in his tracks.
Well, I tell a story in the book about that. You know, I was on holidays, came back. There was family in a city where we live, and I made a right-hand turn, and somebody felt that I had done it too quickly or whatever
the gas
story
station
was.
I read that, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? I could have got out. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'2", and I could have got out, and we could have gone fisticuffs in the parking lot. Would that have solved anything? And the answer, of course, is no. And you know what?
It would have made it worse.
I apologized. And he didn't know what to say. He walked back to his car mumbling and swearing under his breath. Because what was he going to do? Strike somebody who was saying, I'm sorry, I'll attempt to do better next? You know, so you take the wind out of someone's sails when you don't react to them.
And this is good information. We're not just kind of speaking esoterically here. This is good information when you're a business person, because emails come across your desk, phone calls happen, things happen. And you never want to go, yeah, well, and, you know, start that whole thing. You want to take that
here's a key
three
to business
seconds
people.
And just
you get
stop
that email,
for a second.
Mm-hmm. Take more than three. When you get an email.
Oh, I don't react at all. I let it sit for
no
a while.
No one's dying if you don't respond to the email in the next 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Period. So in the business world, if you get an email, and keep in mind, our communication today is much different than it was 20 years ago. So in the past, we picked up the phone, we wrote a letter. Today, someone sends a three-sentence email, and we go, really? That's what you want? I'll show you. And this is how we react.
Right.
You know what? Minimize it. Come back to it in a day. Come back to it in 3 hours, whatever it is. Then reread it, and then respond. Do not do it out of reaction. If you're reactionary, chances are you're going to have a great big challenge down the road.
Oh, no kidding. Learn that the hard way. And, you know, oftentimes, and I would love your opinion on this, sometimes I think it is best to just send back a note and say, well, you know what, that's interesting. Let's chat about this. When's a good time for you? And I think, once you've set that appointment and then you get on the phone, you can't nuance in an email. I don't care who you are. You cannot nuance.
I'll share something. The younger folks today that I have the privilege to work with, the 20-somethings, even when there's a conflict, they have a habit of responding by text message. And don't get me wrong, I text. Mm-hmm. They have a habit of responding by email. And you know what I always say? Never. If there's something looming, do not communicate in that way. Pick up the phone. Go meet somebody in person. And I think that's a key to what you're talking about. If you get an email that you feel is, pick up the phone. Say, hi, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so important.
It's critical. It's communication. It shows that you're on top of it, that you care. And it's so much easier, as you said a moment ago, to say, I'm sorry, on the phone, than it is to just let that email string go unanswered, or because then resentment builds. There's so many things that happen. If you're a business person, do the person that you're doing business with, whether you're a coach or you're a mentor or you're their VA or web developer, whatever you are, do them the courtesy of treating them the way you would want to be treated. It's really that simple, the golden rule. And just take that few moments to say, do I want to accelerate this or do I want to fix this? And for me, the answer is I want to fix this.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very
well,
true.
Listen, I have been reading your book. It really is a great book, and I recommend that anybody here listen to it or read it. Are you going to have an Audible version of it?
There will be an audio version coming sometime, either late this year or early 2015. Will be a course coming around the book probably within the next 8 weeks or so. That all depends on production time. The course is now complete. All that stuff will be available on our website at the www.changeresults.com. And if for those that are listening, if ever I can assist in any way, please go to our website, click on the Contact Us page, send us a notice, call our toll-free number. It's North America-wide. Anything we can do to help you in and be of service in your progression is why we're here.
Great. Now, I have another question, and this goes back to something we were talking about earlier. You know, if somebody's starting, you know, thinking about starting a business, when do you start? Well, now. Obviously, you start right now. But the second thing, I guess, is kind of a two-parter, is if you want to start or grow a business and you need to do it quickly, you've lost your job, you know, your wife is pregnant, whatever the reasons are, what is the best piece of advice you can give people that need to start something right now, today?
You know something, figure out a way, and somebody said this to me the other day, Sean, service businesses are great, and because they're low cost to start. You know what, every single one of us today has information, every single one of us has information and knowledge that's of value and that other people want and need. You may not recognize it, you may not actually know what it is, but I and really encourage everyone to do some introspection, to really do some soul searching, and to come up with something that is monetizable. I've got a lady who did a program with us, one of the programs we were talking about earlier. She's 75 years old. She had and raised 12 children. Do you think she's an expert on kids? Yeah, and
yeah.
She did a course on children.
Nice.
And you know something? She's doing amazing. Here's this little $197 course that people are buying, not just for themselves. Grandparents are buying it for their kids, for their grandkids. Right?
I love that. And is it because, and I have to ask, and is it because the way that, this is just my opinion, is it because, in my opinion, people are really doing a crummy job of raising their kids these days? They're not really taking care of them. Their peers are raising them. They're not necessarily at home with them, and they're trying to be friends with them. Again, just my observation. Is it because people are really understanding the value of a good old-fashioned upbringing?
Well,
now, this is me
I'll
asking without seeing the course. I don't know what the course is about.
No, well, and that's the key. So here's the interesting part of this. I think what it comes down to at the end of the day is sometimes I'm not sure that we as a society think about the impact of what we say and do on a daily basis on our kids.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great little video circulating online on Facebook and that right now, and it's maybe a minute and a half, and it shows this. You know, somebody smoking, and I've got nothing against someone who smokes a cigarette. I smoked when I was young. But here's the interesting part of this. They show someone smoking a cigarette. Guess what the kids are more likely to do?
Pick up the cigarette.
Yeah.
They're
going to
emulate them.
If they see their parents. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So your kids will always emulate the parents before anyone else. Parents have the greatest impact. So if you've got someone who, I'm a serial entrepreneur, and I'll share the story. One of the companies I used to own was a company we did evictions. I fell into it kind of by mistake, and it grew just organically over the course of maybe 3 or 4 years to a pretty large organization. And it was really interesting. There were people that knew my officers and my team on a first name basis because they had evicted them so many times. And if you see the children in those scenarios, it's the same thing. And then, of course, the government would come in and sometimes take the kids away because foster care was better than those. But the interesting part of that, it really and truly is that the kids were the same way the parents were. If you've got someone who's lazy, the kids are going to be the same way.
Nature versus nurture, I guess.
Absolutely. So I'm not going to get into how they're raised, whether it's friends or discipline and that. What I think is important, though, is how we conduct ourselves as parents, as grandparents, as those people, and especially if you're in a position of influence in children, teachers, you know, whatever it is, even religious influences, those are so vitally important to what happens when maybe those of us that are here today aren't anymore.
Right. I love that she's got this program. And at that age, I absolutely love that. I'm fascinated by that story. I hope she does really, really well and that it positively impacts a lot of people.
Absolutely.
I mean, that is
absolutely
amazing. So when you say, you know, it's all about the results, that's kind of what you're talking about, isn't it?
So I have a little bit of a policy inside our organization, and that is everyone that we're privileged to work with, that we partner with as a client, sees results. I have a waiting list of people that want to coach with me on a one-on-one basis. And we ask people to actually fill out a questionnaire before we accept them on that list. And there's a reason for that, because there is the odd person out there, and there's a few that have slipped through, 7 to date. There's the odd person out there that has this misconception that if I hire Sean and pay him some money, he's just, it's magic, pixie dust.
It's magic.
You know, snap his fingers. And there's no magic. I'm very good at what I do. I'm the best at what I do. But you're going to have to take some action steps. You're going to have to execute. It's going to take some hard work. You will have to undo that sofa seatbelt, get off your backside, and go make some things happen. And I'm going to hold you to task. I had a young guy in my office last week that I've been coaching for a number of years, and he's done amazing things. But we all from time to time slip. We're human. Mm-hmm. And I spent an hour with him, and at the end of it, he said to me, oh, my God, he says, I feel like you just kicked me in my brain. And what he meant by that.
That's a good thing.
It was. He was down. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can do that, Sean. This is such a big tab. You understand how, and you know what so-and-so said to me? They said, I'm crazy because I'm doing this. Do you know what the economic cycle is in this part of the country? I said, said, yeah, I'm very aware. I said, but what happened 2 weeks ago when you made a commitment to me to fulfill these tasks so you would make the progress that you want to make? And I asked him a question, and this is a young guy who's 26 years old. I said, are you a man of your word? He said, absolutely. I said, 2 weeks ago you gave me your word you were going to do this. And he was very frustrated with me for saying that to him. But at the end of the day, he left here, and guess what? He's accomplished not just that, but way more after he left. Because he realized, if I'm really going to make the progress and hit the targets and the goals that I set out to, I have to take these action steps.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm guessing correctly here, he basically just overthought himself. He listened to family, friends, peers. He did some investigation on his own and scared himself half to death. Is that what you think happened?
And here's a guy who, at 23 years old, built a highly successful company after buying it from folks that the company was essentially bankrupt and in debt a couple $100,000. They didn't know how to do their due diligence at 23 years old. Mm-hmm. And they built it into something massive. He sold out to his partner, decided to take a couple months off, and then decided to come work with me again because he wanted to take on a different role in a different capacity. And so he's done very, very good in his life. But yeah, he started to doubt himself because mm-hmm. he allowed those outside influences. Sometimes we become, a lot of us today are outer directed instead of inner directed. And we permit, as adults, we have the ability to accept, reject, ignore any thought or idea that comes into our conscious mind. As a child, we do not. That's why you've heard somebody maybe mess up and use a profane word, and the child runs around the room for 3 hours repeating this. But as adults, we can get rid of that. He consciously chose to accept. And the moment we accept thought or idea, it automatically is impressed upon our subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is our power center. It is always mm-hmm. working. And guess what? It starts working on the negative information that we've permitted in. So somebody said you're crazy.
Believe me,
do
I know.
This and yeah. Right? So that's the key to this. It's what we allow. When I tell people I start to work with them, don't watch the news. Forget what CNN, CTV, NBC, CBC, all these different stations mm-hmm. have to say. Because when's the last time you watched the news and it was a good news story?
Well, not only that, but you can turn it off. And let's go back to, you know, cable and the cost of coaching. I turned it off probably about 6 months ago and just didn't watch it. So I turned it back on and I went, hang on a second. Nothing has changed. The same Dust Bowl countries are blowing each other up. The same politicians are still idiots. I'm not watching this garbage anymore. And I turned off all my cable, bought a smart TV, and I just watch what I want to watch when I want to watch it, and I don't have this huge bill. Well, the other day, and this goes to what we were talking about, you know, at the top of the hour, you know, the cost of hiring a coach or a mentor or creating your own business, you know, where do you make those changes? And I got to Cox Communications. I had my equipment in my hand, and there's probably 12 of us standing around outside waiting for the doors to open. All of us were really mad. I mean, Cox did not want to see us come in the door. They really didn't. But if I heard this term once, I heard it half a dozen times. Do you know how much I'm paying for my cable bill? It's a car note. And that stuck with me. Like, it's a car note. By the time you bundle your services, some of these people were paying over $300.
Oh my goodness.
That's coaching money as far as I'm concerned. You take that money away from the cable companies and you invest.
Yeah, I worked with somebody who, so many years ago, I smoked. When I was young, you shouldn't do it. Maybe it's not that good for you.
I think it's your own personal choice.
We didn't know it was that bad.
Right?
I mean, if you go back maybe a little bit longer than I've been around, I mean, there were the Surgeon General was saying smoking's good for you, almost. I'm being a little facetious, but you know where I'm going.
Well, back in the day, they had commercials or advertisements, print advertisements that said it was supposed to be good for your complexion. Go figure.
Yeah, and there were doctors saying that in white lab coats.
Right,
So here's the interesting part of all this. I had a gentleman come to me and say he wanted to quit smoking. But the problem we have is we justify things.
Mm-hmm.
And just do it. He says, well, I can't. And the more you say that, the more challenges you're going to have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and that goes to what you talk about in your book a lot, changing your mind. Changing your mind to me is so important. And it took me a long time. Well, not a long time, but it took me to a certain point in my life where I finally figured out that I was in charge of my own thoughts. Nobody thought them for me. Nobody was in charge of them. Any stinking thinking that I had going on was all me. And I had to really work, and I still do, because it has to become a habit, you know, to change my mind regularly and get rid of those old kind of neural pathways that have forged these, you know, four-lane tracks in my head. You know?
You're right.
We have to constantly be working on changing our mind and be cognizant of the fact that we're allowing all this trash thinking into our heads, and then we act on it. So I would love for you to tell people how changing your mind changes your results, probably in a clearer way than I could.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'll share this, and I think this is so vitally important. If you are living and you are thriving, not surviving, but thriving, and you have the right goal and the right objective, and you're focused on what you really want to happen, and by the way, you have to know what you want, not what you don't want, but what you do want.
Right.
And you make that shift, and you are taking those action steps to get there, not talking about them, not elaborating on them with friends and family, just taking action steps. Bob Proctor says something really interesting. Don't talk to anyone. Don't even turn sideways. Just do it. And I think it's so important. If you're serious about this, go to my website. Send me a message. Phone me. Don't think about it. Don't ask anyone. Just do it. Because at the end of the day, what are the results that you're going to get if you really want them? And you know, that, to me, that's so interesting. If you had somebody side by side, hand in hand, walking together with you, could you do it in less time? Yes, you can collapse time frames. Could you do it in a way where you saw those money? You know, you talked about money earlier. Yes, you could. But shifting the mindset means you have to actually understand what you want. A goal needs to inspire, scare, and motivate you all at the same time. If you know how to do something, it's not a goal. There's no inspiration in needs, but there are in wants. So if you made $50,000 last year and you set your goal this year at $50,000, that's not a goal.
No, that's just a repetition.
So push yourself.
Right.
That's key. That is key.
So, and you mentioned focus a lot. I think focus is so, so important. And do you have any tips or tricks for people to focus? I mean, I have my own.
Yeah.
I know how to do it. But do you have some you can share?
I think it's so important. Focus is one thing. There are a lot of people. There's two kinds of people. Some people focus so much on one thing, they dissect it to death till it's unrecognizable, and they get this, you know, what we call paralysis by analysis.
Yep.
And then we have the people that have so many focuses they never finish anything. So I think what's really important, if you look at the successful people today, they have three sources of income at a minimum, and a maximum of three initiatives on the go at any given time. So take your focus.
I don't
and
think
narrow
I knew that.
There you go. Three initiatives.
Yeah.
Don't go more, because there's no way you can effectively focus on more and accomplish what you need to make sure they're successful outcomes on more than three initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
well,
the same way.
Well, that makes sense. When you're in sales, and I've heard this from people who are in sales, like, look, you never offer the person more than three properties or three pairs of shoes or three whatever, because they just can't process more than three. There's too many choices.
That's right. Very, very true.
Hmm. Okay. Very good.
We default to no when we're faced with too many choices. It's like setting an appointment. If you phone someone next week and say, I'd like to set an appointment with you, how does next week look? How many choices are there for appointments next week? Tons, hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, how's Wednesday at 3 o'clock sound? And they'll usually respond yes, or how about Thursday at 2?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you've narrowed it down. That's human nature.
Right. That's the way I've always done it. It works very well because you don't just give this nebulous calendar. People
That's right.
don't really want to make those choices. They want to know what's available, and they'll pick one. It's really simple.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah. Okay, we are running. Can you believe our hour is just about up? You have been fascinating to chat with, and I would love
fantastic.
To invite you back again. I know. You've got to come back. I've got so many questions for you. But
please.
Oh, good, 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 good. You notice I did that on air, so you can't turn me down. Wasn't that smart? Listen, before we go, though, what are the two most important points that you can leave with our listeners?
This is vital. Jim Rohn said this. You are the sum total of the top five people you associate with regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying to alienate family. I've got a relative. I share this in the book. This person is the most negative person, I think, on the planet. You know what?
I had to laugh because I have that person in my life. And, we're down to Christmas cards.
I see him twice a year.
I can't take it.
I see him Christmas and I see him Thanksgiving.
I can't do it.
Right? I do not allow myself to spend time with people who are in that space.
Right.
Find people who are in the same mindset you are, who are driven, who are motivated, who want to succeed, who are going to support you, and heavily restrict the time with those that are not in that mind space. If you don't have friends in that space, do you know something? Get involved with an organization like ours, because guess what we do? We have teams all over, and when we do, we introduce people. That's the key. When you go to one of our events, a seminar, there are people there that do exactly what you want to do. They believe in you. They work with you, and you create this network of like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
That's key. Second one, and I said this earlier, I'll reiterate it, I think it's the most important thing. I think it's like a missing component. We talk about goals. We talk about getting there. We talk about success. Here's the bottom line. It is about results, but here's the key to all of it, and this is so important. You today, when you hear this show, go and take action. And I know we've heard this for years. Take action. Do it today. Tomorrow may be too late.
Yeah. How many instances do you know where tomorrow just didn't happen for people? You just
absolutely
don't know.
I shared one earlier.
Right, right. I mean, you just honestly don't know if you're going to go to bed tonight and not wake up tomorrow or be in a car accident. You just don't know, so take action while you still can.
Absolutely. This isn't a test drive. It's a real thing.
That exactly right. Sean, you have been a brilliant guest. Thank you so much for being with me here today. You gave our audience a glimpse into your life and your systems, and I know they appreciate it as much as I do, and I'm looking forward to having you come back.
It's been an honor and a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, listen, everybody, the show will be available for download in about an hour. And you can also find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Sean Schuchuk. Say it for me.
It's Sean Schuchuk. I'll even spell it. S-H-E-W-C-H-U-K.
Very good. I was close. Well, I will see everybody next week. Sean, you have a wonderful weekend, and thanks again.
Thank you.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.